All right, welcome to another edition of the 40 Minutes of Tell podcast. I'm Jimmy Carter. I'm here with Bob Holt. It's been a long time. We need to get you back on the show, Bob.
Yeah, anytime.
Are you disappointed in retrospect that you're not going to Portland this week? You get to cover the Missouri home game, see if they can break the record for least amount of fans at a SEC game?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, part of me would like to be in Portland and, seeing some probably going to be some great games, especially if Arkansas ends up playing North Carolina. But part of me won't mind, staying home. I mean, I've traveled quite a bit as you get older. You don't bounce back from trips as much. I know you'll
but the
go
Marriott
out there and do a
points,
fine
Bob.
Job.
The Marriott points.
Well, I hate to miss out on those. I'm fine. I mean, I'd be fine if I was there. I'm fine covering football too.
Well, Arkansas goes into that. They're 3-0, off to a pretty impressive start. Their last game, their most recent game since I podcasted last, was an 83-75 win over Fresno State on Friday. Really kind of followed the same flow of the first two games. They jumped out to a big lead in the first half, but this game Fresno actually came back and made it kind of a game late. What'd you take away from Friday night, Bob?
I thought it was a pretty good effort by Arkansas. I mean, I think Fresno's a solid team. They're probably going to finish pretty high in the Mountain West, which people may say, well, the Mountain West, but you got some pretty good teams out there, like San Diego State, Nevada's good. Fresno had, I think, four starters back from a NIT team. They had some grad transfers, so I think that was a pretty decent team. Had some veteran guys, and when Arkansas was up by 19, I think, about midway through the second half, they didn't give up. They came back. Arkansas maybe got a little stagnant with the big lead. I think Mike Anderson referenced they sort of started playing not to lose, but I think Fresno's a pretty solid team, so I think it was a good win. It'd be nice if you're Arkansas and you beat them by 20, but I don't think they have anything to apologize for.
Here's my question. So we've seen them not lag in the second half, but obviously their defensive attention has gone down a little bit after they've gotten these huge leads the first three games. Friday it actually got down to the point where it's a three-possession game. Friday was also the first time that Barford, Make, and those guys had to play in like the mid-30s minutes-wise. Like Jalen said after the game, you got to bring Jonathan Holmes in here. And Daryl, he didn't even play, which neither he or JT Plummer played. So you saw those guys' minutes go up as a result. There weren't any garbage time minutes per se. Do the minutes concern you at all for the three senior guards, mainly Barford and Macon?
Yeah, well, you definitely, I think if they're going to play Arkansas style, you don't want those guys averaging, 30-plus minutes. But I don't know if they have. Now, if they have to do that over the long haul, the whole season, they may not have much left in the tank when March comes around. But I think that they'll hopefully get a little deeper where guys like Darius Hall will play more minutes. C.J. Jones will play more minutes if they get some of these suspended players back. Khalil Garland, that's obviously still a huge question mark. But I guess just, you got to do what you got to do to win. I know, we thought the Gafford's probably done for the night, and then Mike had to put him back.
Yeah,
You close it out. You can't blow a big lead. It's kind of like baseball. You don't have to bring your closer in, but if they get the tying run to the plate, you better put your closer in.
Right.
That is a concern. I mean, right now they're basically going with a rotation of nine guys. So we'll see how that goes. But those three seniors, Barford, Beard, Macon, those guys are pretty experienced too, and know how to manage them. They're themselves physically and
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They played 34 and 35. Jalen and Daryl played 34 and 35 minutes the other night. You wonder, three games in 4 days this week. I think they at some point they need to get a little bit. Darius needs to prove that he can be good enough offensively to get out there. CJ needs to prove he can be good enough defensively to get out there and earn more minutes. We don't have a lot of time because both of us were a little bit late showing up today. So we got some Twitter and message board questions that we're going to get to. Starting with David Dykes, and you mentioned Khalil a second ago. What are the odds that Khalil Garland plays this year? David wants to know. What do you think, Bob?
I think he's not going to play this year. I'm not basing that on any inside knowledge, just the fact that he's been on campus about 6 months and he hadn't been cleared medically. I don't know the super. I mean, we've heard things. I'm hesitant to say something specifically when I don't have, when I haven't had his medical records in my hand, and that's a privacy issue there. But I just think if you've been on campus for 6 months, you haven't been cleared, that's not a good sign. That you're going to play.
What my understanding of the situation is that he's on new medication, and they, you know, you got to give the medication time to take effect,
right?
Essentially, so December is the next time that they will, that he'll go in for tests. So he definitely won't be back before, you know, some, at some point in December, the earliest. But I kind of take the same stance as you do. Like, they've tried for quite a while to resolve this, and obviously you hope they do, but you know that they're going to put his well-being and his safety first.
We definitely, and then also, let's say he does get cleared. Well, I know he's been in practice, he's been shooting, I'm sure he's been doing whatever he can, whatever he's allowed to do, I'm sure he's been doing that, but he hasn't really scrimmaged.
He hasn't played 5-on-5.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, to me it's tough to put him in the middle of a season with a good team. Not saying they couldn't do that, but maybe they could play him a few minutes here or there. But, you know, you at that point you wonder if he'd almost be better off redshirting.
Yeah. Let's move on. This guy's got a great username. Click to see Danny DeVito holding a bottle of wine. That is his username.
That's a long name.
It is a long name. It's a good, well, I guess if somebody needs to at him, they've got 280 characters now. Gafford earned a starting spot with the PK80 upcoming. What do you think?
I think he's earned it. Whether or not Mike's going to start him, I don't know. I've been giving that some thought. As we know, Nolan Richardson was this way, Mike's this way. You know, starting really isn't a big deal. I know players like to do it. They like to get their name heard. I mean, who doesn't if you were a player? But with the foul issues Gafford's had, I know he didn't have them the other night to the extent. But I think, you know, if he goes in there and gets all excited and picks up a couple quick fouls, it's such a downer. So personally, I think bringing him off the bench, at least right now, isn't a bad thing. He's still going to play his minutes, whether he starts or not. He obviously was in the game when it mattered the other night. So he's definitely earned a starting spot. I don't know that Mike will start him, and I don't know that he should start him.
I think he's earned it. He's got a plus 30.5 net rating right now, which is pretty good. At the same time, Trey Thompson is plus 29.6, so they're about equal. The defense is better when Gafford's in there. The offense is better when Trey's in there. I don't think he'll start him this week just because – and I said before, Kurt Voigt and I did a over-under podcast, and I said under 15 starts for Trey Thompson this year. And I still think that, but I don't think Mike will – I don't think Mike will go to Gafford yet as a starter. And I think kind of what you mentioned, the desire to avoid getting him in early foul trouble – I do think there comes a point where he clearly makes such a big impact on the game that even though it is more important who closes games, it still matters who starts because typically that group is going to play at least a quarter of the game together. If you think the first 5 minutes of each half, that's a quarter of the game for one group. Like Arkansas's by far its most used lineup is its starting lineup. I don't think they've had any lineup come like within 6 minutes of playing as much as those five have together. So I agree. At some point they will make the change. I don't think it'll be this weekend. We got a bunch of questions about Dustin Thomas, whether he'll return. Obviously, timing-wise, we're recording this before Mike talks today at 2:30. We might find out more then. But Todd Ramsey at Navy Hog asked, what do you expect differently at the four with Thomas returning? Bailey has played well, but Thomas brings an element of passing and playmaking that Bailey doesn't do. So I guess let's try and tackle all the Dustin Thomas, what do you think is going to happen, and then what happens at his position.
Well, if I understood accurate, I think maybe his suspension was supposed to be the two exhibition games in the first three games.
Right.
So we've already crossed that bridge. So assuming he hasn't, but I'm sure while that's part of the punishment, he also had to adhere to whatever Mike wanted him to adhere to. And assuming he's done that, I understand he's been practicing with the team. The practices are closed, but that's what we've been told. So I assume he would come off suspension, not because they're playing Oklahoma, but I think, you know, that he served whatever time he was supposed to serve. And of not being able to play. So, yeah, I would think, you know, he would get to play some. I don't know. You know, he hasn't even played an exhibition game, we got to remember. You know, he's
right.
Been scrimmaging in practice, presumably, but he hasn't even played an exhibition game. And also, I don't think you reward a guy who got a senior especially, who got suspended for five games by saying, okay, you're back in the starting lineup, all's forgiven. I don't think Mike's going to do that. But obviously, as you mentioned, they got to play three games in 4 days, so it's good to have another body. You know, Thomas is a guy that has some skills. I think last year he was inconsistent, but if you look at certain games, like when they beat Seton Hall in the NCAA tournament, he came up big. When they won at LSU, he came up big. People may think, oh, well, they won at LSU. LSU was lousy. But if you remember that game,
they were down big, weren't they?
They had lost to Missouri. They had lost at Missouri. They had lost at home really badly to Vanderbilt. And I don't remember how they were down big at LSU. I mean, double digits.
I think 14 or so.
And you were thinking, God, they're going to lose this game too. And it was not looking good. The season was kind of teetering. And Dustin Thomas was the guy that really helped them win that game. So the guy's got a skill set as a fifth-year senior because he only redshirted after transferring in from Colorado. You think he could be a really good stabilizing force. You know, the question is, you know, did he learn his lesson? Is he going to be a good teammate? Because, you know, if you get suspended, you're not being a good teammate, you know?
Right.
And so I'm not saying, you know, he did something terrible, but you're not, you know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't get suspended. Suspension is bad. So
thanks for clearing that up for us, Bob.
All the kids out there listening to know that. But so I think it'll help because he's another body and he's experienced, but I don't expect him to, like, go in and play 25 minutes or something, you know?
Yeah, I think at this point, Adrio, I don't think Michael put him in to the starting lineup right off the bat just because Adrio's played well, and then, too, he's coming off a suspension. That just doesn't really fit, I feel like, Mike's MO for how he typically would handle that situation. Adrio's played good with that starting group. They're about average defensively, but their offensive rating's like 137. They look incredible. We got Tom Murphy walking through with a really weird look on his face. I think he's about to go tape some sort of video or something for the app, the Whole Hog app.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he'll do a fine job.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's got his notebook with him, so I'm sure he's got plenty of interesting tidbits to give us about his AP voting process. But no, all right, so Adriel, I think kind of you got to weigh, too, like how their strengths and weaknesses mesh with people. So the thing that's jumped out to me about Adrio is he's played really well off of the main guys so far, right? So he set really good screens, and this is like a really small, like, kind of overlooked thing, but he's actually set solid screens, whereas Dustin Thomas, it seems like to me, every single time last year he would set a screen, he tried to slip it early to get himself open essentially right. for a quick roll. Adrio set screens. He's finished really good around the bat. He's definitely a better finisher than Dustin is, in my mind. Defensively, he's probably better. He's not as experienced, and he's not as good on the offensive end. But maybe he's better at playing off of Jalen and Daryl because he can finish whenever they penetrate and draw the defense. Obviously, he can't shoot that well still. We've seen that proven beyond a shadow of doubt early on. But at least he's not hesitating. He's playing aggressively, which is the big thing that I think that they look for from him. I think he'll start, and I think inevitably there will be a lull at some point, and it wouldn't be surprising if Dustin gets put back in there down the line. Mike mixes it up, but I think that Adrio has earned the right to be the starter, at least at this point. So somebody also asked, we're going to touch on this real quick, and I think we can both sort of agree on this. MD Grobmeyer, I don't know if I'm saying that right, said, with Cook missing lots of games and likely behind Bailey and Thomas, any chance he redshirts and is available for 2018, another 6'8 senior could help? I'm going to say no, because they already are full on scholarships at this point, not including him, so I don't see there's any way that that'll happen.
Yeah, that would surprise me. I mean, no offense to Orlando. I think they probably, he'd be moving on after this year.
Right. There's a better chance, I think, that they count this year as a redshirt year and he grad transfers somewhere else and plays.
That's possible. And I'm not saying he's a bad kid. He had his moments last year, too. Like, when they beat Texas, he had some monster free throws. So, and he had a big game down at A&M when they won. So, that's what makes Arkansas – I mean, that's what makes Mike's program work, because he's obviously got some good players. You know, these senior guards are good. Gafford's obviously good. But he doesn't have, like, Kentucky – you know, McDonald's All-Americans, you know, sitting on the bench. He doesn't have the talent the Missouri's assembled right now. But one thing I think makes Mike's systems has worked, whether it's been UAB, Missouri here, is that you have a lot of different moving parts. You have your key players like Barford and Macon and Gafford, but you also have guys that can mix and match and do different things.
Right.
And so he uses his whole roster. And so I think there's definitely a time and a place for Orlando Cook to contribute if and when he gets back. But I don't see it being like, well, wow, Orlando Cook could be a difference maker for us next year. I don't see that.
Right. Okay. Let's move on. Scott Fisher, S. Fisher 987, asks, did the double teams get to Macon, or did he just have an off night? I think he finished 3 of 10. Didn't didn't really look as comfortable. And I thought it was smart. Fresno State, so in the second half, they started blitzing pretty much every ball screen. So anytime the mostly it was Darryl. It happened a few times with the other two seniors. They would trap or push them out toward half court, double team them essentially to get the ball out of their hands. So Darryl, and say, I mean, you can deal with that by you can turn that, you can beat the big and turn the corner, you can split it. But Darryl was kind of just backing up and then getting rid of the ball, which is what Fresno wanted him to do. Essentially, they want to take the ball out of his hands. I don't know that he handled it real well. Maybe force the mid-range jumpers. I mean, what did you think about his game? I think he's allowed to have an off game every now and then.
I thought he played okay. I mean, I think he had 11 points. Like you said, he wasn't.
He got his flop at the end of the game to get to the free throw line and get to double digits.
Yeah, he got his. I think he knocked down all four of his free throws. It's like Mike Anderson said. They were clearly focused in on Darryl, and you know, I think you know Gafford had a big game. I think with Arkansas, they have enough weapons. You kind of got to pick your poison. I mean, a couple of years ago, when they went 16-16, was pretty much, you know, Dusty shooting outside and Kingsley inside. There weren't a whole lot of other options.
Hey, don't sell my guy Anthlon Bell short, Bob. Come on now.
And Bell was a good shooter too. They had limited options. And
right.
If Anthlon's listening, I apologize for.
You're gonna lose our Memphis, Tennessee listenership.
I'm sorry about that. But I think they have a lot more options now, which is good. I mean, they have 5-6 guys. I mean, it wouldn't shock you if Trey Thompson, if he takes enough shots, got in double figures. You know, he's just such
that
a
would actually shock
guy.
Me. I'm gonna.
Well, let's say if he got enough shots and got fouled a few times and didn't, you know, get limited to 5 or 11 minutes or whatever because of 4 fouls. But
right.
they have a lot of different parts. So yeah, I think Darryl might have had a little bit of an off night. I mean, they were obviously focused on him, but it's not like he went 2 for 20 or something. He didn't just fire up a bunch of shots. I think he knew they were focused on him, and also. Fresno has some veteran guards. They have some pretty good length, you know. And but so now that he's been through that, then you assume he'd handle it better the next time if it happens against Oklahoma.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they're maybe a little bit more prepared for that, because that's a good idea by teams to try and take the ball out of his hands. Golden State had that happen to them a ton with Steph. Like, teams would just blitz him to make him get rid of it. And Golden State has this guy named Draymond Green that Steph would just slip the ball to, and they'd have a 4-on-3 and get easy open threes. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, I could see other teams doing that because it did seem to work. I think maybe part of that was just because it caught him off guard. Michael Justice at Justice Michael 1 asked, the rebounding has looked better so far this season. Do you think they will be able to sustain that? We got to start going through these quicker because we got a bunch of them.
I think they've got more, especially getting guys like Thomas back. If they got Cook back, you know, I think their guards are pretty good rebounders. So, yeah, I mean, obviously rebounding can always be kind of a skewed stat because if you miss a lot of shots or the team you're playing misses a lot of shots, you're going to have more rebound opportunities. But I don't see any reason why this can't be a solid rebounding team. I mean, I don't think they're going to be -6 or something. I think they'll probably be right around even or +1 or +2.
Yeah, they're +4 right now. Last year they're -0.7, obviously. Once they start playing better teams, that is subject to change. I think they have a potential to be a better defensive rebounding team. Gafford, to me, is going to get a lot better because right now I think he still uses his athleticism some, and he gets stuck underneath the rim sometimes where he's just like, oh, I can outjump somebody for it, and ends up not putting a body on someone. You saw that a few times on Friday, I thought. All right, so moving on, Caleb Deloche asked like 15 million questions. I appreciate all the questions, Caleb. That was very in-depth of you. He asked about the suspended players. He wanted to know, and we got a few questions about this, Arkansas fans are looking forward to the UNC rematch, but should we be more wary of OU? That was also asked on our message board by BakeTog19741.
I think OU is a pretty good team. I looked it up. They're averaging 108 points because they beat Nebraska, Omaha, 108-89, and they beat Ball State, David Letterman's alma mater, 108-67.
Is it David Letterman's alma mater?
That's where he went, yes.
Oh, okay.
And they've got a freshman point guard, Trey Young, who is a McDonald's All-American, a five-star guy. He's averaging 18.5 points, and he's got 23 assists in 2 games, so by my limited math skills, that's 11.5 assists a game. So that's pretty good. They've got some size. They've got some good. Obviously, Young's kind of the guy that makes them go. So I think definitely Arkansas shouldn't be looking ahead to North Carolina. No way you look past OU. Lon Kruger's, you know, a Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's in a Hall of Fame, but if he's not, he should be. He's a hell of a coach.
Put him in the Hall.
And whatever Hall of Fame he should be in. And so, no, I think it's a very tough game for Arkansas. I think it's kind of a playing on a neutral floor. I'd probably call it a toss-up kind of game. Maybe Arkansas is a little bit better, but OU had a little bit of a down year, but they went to the Final Four the year before. OU's really good. They're a really good program. Lon Kruger's a great coach. Very tough game for Arkansas.
Yeah, I watched both games, like both OU season opening games, and it's going to be I was kind of the opinion that Arkansas would win and be able to handle OU. I'm not as sure now. Trey Young's really good. He didn't shoot the ball that great. This is becoming the Golden State Warriors podcast. He kind of plays like, obviously he's nowhere near Steph as a shooter, but he'll take like 28-foot shots where he'll like go between his legs four times and shake a guy and just get free for a shot. He makes a lot of really flashy passes. They spread the floor for him really well and run him through a lot of pick and rolls. And as we have seen, Arkansas's pick and roll defense hasn't always been great. And so that's a little worry. I think it's been better this year, but they haven't played anybody like him. He has the ability to make a lot of really high degree of difficulty passes and find open guys. To me, this game's really going to challenge their defense early on and give us kind of a better indicator of how much they've – I mean, we've seen their length make a difference already. They're forcing a ton – Arkansas's forcing a ton of turnovers. But, it's not a stretch to say that this is like maybe the – one of the three best point guards they'll play this year. Colin Sexton at Alabama is really good. And Joel Berry, if I don't know, he might be. I haven't really looked into that much. I think he was hurt a little while back.
And don't forget about J.J. Caldwell at A&M.
J.J. Caldwell. Yeah, that's right.
Even when he ever plays.
Our boy. Five games, right? Any of five?
And by the way, for everybody out there listening, Jimmy's talking about Steph Curry, in case you didn't. If he just says Steph, He's Steph Curry.
He's not a household name.
No, I'm just kidding.
In the Holt household. The Holt cats do not recognize Steph Curry. I think it's going to be a good game. Here's the thing, like from an Arkansas standpoint, I've heard this from a bunch of people inside the program. Like, all right, North Carolina's great. They want to match up against North Carolina, but they really, the most important game for them long term is beating OU, because if they beat OU, then they're guaranteed three really good opponents. Whereas if they lose, you're going to play Portland, and that'll be something that drags their RPI down. And they've got a chance to have a really good RPI this year, so they don't. They do not want that.
Yeah, no way in shape, form, fashion should Arkansas be looking past OU, and I don't think they will be. I know they really want to play North Carolina, but Oklahoma is going to be more than enough to handle. I mean, that's playing that's going to fill up your Thanksgiving plate right there.
Yeah.
That's a couple helpings of turkey and dressing right
for
there.
For sure. Gentry Razorback also asked about the three-point defense and kind of touched on that a little bit. It's been better. They're still allowing a lot of threes, so that kind of is worrisome at times. How they defend the pick and roll this week will be interesting. Let's try and hit a few more of these and then get out of here. I don't know if you paid much attention to Jimmy Witt and Nick Babb so far. Jimmy Witt played well in his first game, had like 6-7-5 or something like that, 8-7-5. And then Nick Babb is playing 38.5 minutes a game for Iowa State. He leads him in scoring, like 17 points, almost 8 rebounds, and assists. All three of those are team highs.
I saw someone on Twitter last night where he was like MVP, so I don't know if they were playing one of those early four-team tournaments.
Yeah.
But I always thought Nick Babb was a good player, great kid from all I could tell. I think if he'd have stayed here, he would have done well.
He would probably be starting right now instead of Anton Beard.
I think there's a couple things about Nick. One is he would not be playing 38 minutes here. I mean, nobody would. I mean,
right.
If people look back, like Corliss Williamson didn't play 38 minutes. You know, I think Corliss
played in the 20s, maybe.
Yeah, Corliss and Scotty played around 29. Now, maybe against Kentucky, he played 30-something minutes, but he didn't average 30. And also I heard that, and of course practices were closed, but I heard – Nick maybe didn't like being coached real hard on defense and stuff. I don't mean like, anything abusive or anything. I just mean, and maybe at Iowa State they don't do that as coach as hard as Arkansas.
They can't be pressing or doing too much if he's playing 38.5 minutes a game.
Well, exactly. But I think he was a good – I don't think anybody ever had anything bad to say about him. My limited dealings with him were very positive. I actually ate at his dad's barbecue restaurant in Dallas.
Oh, yeah? Was it good?
It was very good. And I got a T-shirt, and They said you'd been baptized on it.
What's the name of it? Give it a little shout out. Give it a little plug.
I think it's Babs Barbecue or something like that. So I'm not positive, but it's in Dallas. I'm sure you can look it up.
Did you write a story about it?
No, I just went. I was in Dallas. I didn't go to Dallas to eat there. I was there visiting a friend, and it turned out my buddy had gone there. They had live music on the weekends, and he'd gone there several times, and he'd seen a guy wearing an Arkansas basketball t-shirt, and he'd asked him about it. He said, oh, my son signed with Arkansas. So I said, well, hey, when we come down there, let's go. And it was really good food. I'd recommend it. Assume it's still open and doing well. But
yeah, that would have been a cool story if you'd been on the team longer.
Well, yeah, that was sort of my idea, but that sort of went by the boards. I was, you know, thinking about the next year when he became more of a key player. But yeah,
right.
Nick Babb, I think. But that's the world today. You know, people transfer. I mean, Dusty Hannes came here as a transfer, scored 1,000 points in 2 years. You know, Dustin Thomas is a transfer. I mean, guys just transfer around. There doesn't seem to be the patience there used to be. I know.
Keaton Miles, too.
Yeah, Keaton. Well, he was a great kid, and he gave him some okay minutes. Speaking of transfers, I saw where Lorenzo Jenkins, who's at Colorado State, had
Boogie Jenkins.
I think he had 14 points and 6 boards last
night. Oh, wow.
Against whoever they were playing. It slips my mind.
At you, Bob. You're on top of
it, man. There's this thing called Twitter. I see it.
Bob on Twitter.
Yeah, and of course he'll be coming here to play. Colorado State plays Arkansas. I don't think I wrote it down, but
this is going to be the Lorenzo Jenkins revenge game.
I guess. Well, you know, he was kind of here as a warm body when they had the suspensions and
right.
And but anyway, so I mean, yeah, they're guys all over. But yeah, and Jimmy Witt, I saw the other night. I think he scored 7 points against somebody. Jimmy's a good kid, good player.
He's playing point guard now.
You know, I think you know, depending on who you listen to. Somebody got in his ear and said, hey, you know, with Macon and Barford coming in, you're not going to play that much. His minutes had gone down. But, you know, the coaches say this all the time, and I tend to agree, is the coaches don't necessarily determine the minutes the players do with what they're
right.
doing. So maybe, you know, I think Jimmy would have done well here if he'd stuck it out. It's just a different time where, you know, back when I was a young man, you know, like in football, it wasn't a big deal if you didn't play till you were a junior, you know. Now, of course, there were more kids on scholarship, too. It's a different world. Guys want to play right away. I get that. But there's really, that I'm aware of, there's nothing like the transfer numbers in basketball. It's just tons of transfers every year everywhere.
Yep. Cannot argue with that. We've got a ton of other questions, but we do not have time. We're just going to take one more, and it's from Dudley Dawson.
Dudley Dawson.
I hate that guy. No. We love Dudley. He asked, will I continue to stay in my fashion lane, fashion-wise, while in Portland? Someone replied to that on our message board and said no, and I tend to agree with them. Did you notice he wore like the Columbia fishing shirt on Saturday to the football game, and he was real proud of that.
You're talking about Dudley?
Yeah, instead of the Celtics uniform.
Oh, he had a pullover, didn't he?
Is
a fishing shirt?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was, what's a fishing
Between
shirt?
Him and Clay, we had the Bass Pro sponsorship decked out.
Okay, well, Dudley's always a very stylish dresser. I mean, I don't know if he's in your league, but he's very stylish.
I look kind of like a bum today. But, I'm not sure. I kind of expect Dudley to break out the Celtics gear while we're in Portland. Who knows, they might be up to like 20 wins in a row at that point.
Just tell him not to take anybody off.
Portland people are generally nice. I'm looking forward to it.
It should be fun. You got to go to that donut shop.
The Voodoo Donuts. Yeah, I've already looked it up. It's 24/7.
Okay.
I'm probably going to make a regretful decision and buy about a dozen donuts and gain about 10 pounds while I'm there. So it'll be a great time.
You're a thin guy anyway. You'll be fine.
All right. Well, Bob, I appreciate you hopping on here again today. And I'm sure you'll watch the games. We can catch up about this
down
the road.
For sure.
It should be a great weekend of basketball.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. For Bob Holt, I'm Jimmy Carter. That wraps up another edition of 40 Minutes to Tell. And we'll get back with you guys next week after Arkansas goes to Portland.